Give me the green light. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go right now.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the post-game podcast, where George Mason knocked off UMass in an overtime thriller. And as always, presented to you by George and Giant Killer. Again, we're here to recap the George Mason 80-75 victory over the UMass Minutemen. I'm Tyler Byram, your host, and joining me this time is our beat writer, Dom Allegra.
That's me.
Okay, Dom, opening thoughts from tonight's game.
Well, let's see. We struggled a little bit in the beginning of the first half. I'm pretty sure we... UMass got out to like a 8-3 score lead, and then we finished the half tied, and then we finished the second half tied. And
yeah, Dom was sweating on press row. He was
not happy. Oh, gosh, man.
I think you have class tomorrow.
I do have class tomorrow.
I have an off day, so.
I have a 10:30 in the morning, so it's not that bad, but.
You have about 12 hours from the class starts.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, overtime, you know, I'm not always a big fan of overtime, but, you know, it makes my job a lot harder, especially writing these recaps. But, you know, you get what you get, and, you know, we finished the game strong, especially in that overtime period.
Yeah, against UMass. UMass and George Mason is always going to be a good game. You're guaranteed to get a good game, and these teams always play each other. They're going to find a way to play each other in the Atlantic 10 tournament. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, they played each other last year.
What was the statistic you said? That
this is the third time in their last five games that
insane.
George Mason and UMass have gone into overtime, which... Again, it's ridiculous, but you know you're going to get a good game. The spread tonight from Vegas is 8. I guess they're a little bit close, but if you know the history of these two teams, it wasn't going to be an 8-point game at all. I think, actually, UMass led by 8 very early, and then it never got more than 6 points.
It kind of tapered off at the 10-minute mark in the first half after, you know, UMass pulled ahead, and then, you know, things just got tied again, and then, you know, you just ended the game well, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and instead of just talking about the game, let's tell you what actually happened in this game.
So
the big news, start of the game, no Greg Calixt for tonight's game. He was out due to a concussion. Doesn't seem to be long-term. It was something that happened at the end of the LaSalle game. So it's just concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they didn't feel like he was good to go. So this isn't something I think you should be concerned about if you're a George Mason fan. But with the injuries piling up, I can understand why there might be some concern from the fan base. Either way, though, they're able to get the victory. Early on, Carl Pierre. Man, for UMass.
Oh, my gosh,
he set the tone very early. He helped them get an 8-3 advantage to start. Then George Mason, right after that, responded with a 7-0 run. And then after that, it became kind of the battle in the post between Jared Reuter and Rashawn Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of expected Holloway to have a big game. He hasn't been playing too much for UMass in the past couple. But Reuter, I thought, matched up well with Holloway. He kept him controlled. A.J. Wilson, when
you
he came
give
in
it to A.J.,
bench.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't – you could – clearly tell when Holloway was on, Coach Paulson wanted Reuter on.
Yeah.
But Wilson did very well when he had to go up against Holloway.
Yep.
I will say with Reuter as well, and I'll go on it a little bit later,
mm-hmm.
Reuter didn't have a foul against Holloway until like the U4 of the second half.
I didn't even know that.
Absolutely impressive.
Really impressive. Yeah.
I know Paulson, especially earlier on in the season, was really frustrated with some of the fouls that Jared was picking up, and he went a long way without getting one here tonight. Back to the game.
Mm-hmm.
There was a interesting situation.
Oh my gosh,
it was right in front of us. You were actually taking some video.
I was taking video at the baseline.
Yes.
And
but UMass thought for a moment that it was a 6-on-5 game, them having the 6.
Yeah.
And Matt McCall, he was a very smart coach. I actually really like Matt McCall, and I think he's going to do very well in the Atlantic 10. He tried to pull off Baptiste, one of his players, so the referees wouldn't notice. The crowd was going crazy. Yeah. I don't think the referees even had any idea what was going on.
What, they just
but
tried
everyone
to
was
switch.
Shouting at the refs. Yeah. Everyone was. So eventually they get all settled. According to the rule book, it's a technical foul.
Yep.
So George Mason went. Otis 1-1.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, 1-for-2 in that free throw attempt. But anyways, as we look towards the end of the first half, George Mason went on into the second half. George Mason went on a 15-1 scoring run to kind of help them take advantage in this
game. That's great, yeah.
It looked like George Mason was going to kind of pull away a little bit at that point. But then Carl Pierre, once again, responds. He hits a couple threes, and they're right back into the game.
He had a great game. You know, I think he finished with a career high, 26 points. He went 10-for-20, 6-from-12 from 3-point. Yeah. How? Like, that's just insane, man.
If a player hits 6 3-pointers, you know they'd be in my Mason record tweets later on in the night. But Mason, by the way, I don't think they hit 3 3-pointers as a team, if I'm correct.
Yes, that is correct. Three for eight.
Yeah, and they didn't even – did they attempt one in the second half?
They did not attempt
one
in the second.
They did not attempt a single three-pointer in the second
half. It was not until OT that we then again
– And I'm going to get to that. Okay. I'm going to get to that because that was a big three.
Yes.
But back to the game. We're in the second half.
Yep.
Big moment for A.J. Wilson, I thought. I thought he was kind of having a very kind of – it looked like he hadn't played in a couple weeks
type
of game.
Mellow night, yeah.
But then there were key moments when he was able to draw big offensive fouls against the postmen for UMass. None bigger than getting the fourth foul against Rashawn Holloway with 9:14 left to go in
the
game. And that was very big. It kind of set the tone and allowed George Mason to go on a run to get a lead. UMass with Carl Pierre, again, if you – hinting at a theme, Carl Pierre balled tonight.
Kept dropping threes.
But that was a big moment for A.J. Coach Paulson lauded him in the press conference for that. But that was very big. And he stayed off the court for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And George Mason, like I said, went on a run. Right after that, A.J. Wilson able to get a slam off of a feed from Javon Green. Like three UMass players on the court, and A.J. Wilson just slammed it home. That was actually right after UMass called their final timeout with like 4 minutes to go in the game, and they pulled out some crazy zone. They had like they triple teamed Otis, triple teamed Kyer, and then eventually they just got it down low to AJ and they scored. Another guy for UMass that balled out that I don't think anyone expected is Trey Wood. Big 3-pointer for him to help them take the lead 56-54. Then after that, just kind of back and forth, Green hits 2 free throws, tied up at 56, and then back-to-back steals from UMass, able to get them at the 60-56 lead. Carl Pierre, the one getting them up to 60 points. And then eventually, I think Jordan Miller hit a big bucket underneath the basket. And
nice
then
put
to close out the game, Carl Pierre driving all the way to the rim. He got stopped. Big outlet pass down the field to Justin Kyer with 19 seconds left to go. Jared Reuter got a big rebound. Otis had a great pass up ahead to Kyer and gets the assist on that. Tied up at 60. We're going to overtime.
Yay.
But then back to that three-pointer. Back to that three-pointer.
That three-pointer.
Very early. Javon Green.
Coming in clutch.
From downtown. Corner wing. Hits the first three-pointer since the first half.
Yep.
And Mason takes the lead. Don't look back. They go 11 for 13 from the free throw line in the extra period. And 11 of their 20 points came from the line. So Mason getting a big victory after what was a night where they started out pretty poorly at the charity stripe.
Yeah. I think they went 46% in the first half. And, you know, when you're playing someone like UMass, you can't miss those shots, especially at the free throw line. Like, those are crucial. And if you don't make those, you know, that's why this game was so close.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been close if Mason hit their free throws. But as they got it done in overtime, what you expect from an experienced team. Just a quick rundown of the stats. All five starters reached double figures. They were led by Otis Livingston II with 21. Javon Green, who had a strong first half, he had 17 points, 5 for 6 in the ball game. 14 from Kyer, 10 from Reuter. Most of them came late to help get them at the free throw line. And then Jordan Miller, he also had 10. Quiet night for him, but he played very, very well for a freshman that was almost redshirted.
Almost redshirted.
Carl Pierre, as we said, for UMass, 26 points led the way. He doubled up any other player on his team. 10 for 26 from 12. 0 for 1 at the line, though, to help lead the Minutemen as a team. George Mason shot 45% from the field due to them hitting really well later in the game. The first half was just ugly basketball.
Ugly.
Ugly basketball. And UMass, they also shot 45%, but from the three-point arc.
Yeah.
So, yep. Good game for them. I don't think you take much away from George Mason. You just know this is going to be a close game. But that will end our stat recap right there. Right yep. now, we did get Brian a yeah, chance to talk to assistant coach for George Mason, Dwayne Simpkins. He talked about just the history between these two teams and also a guy that balled out. Guy we didn't expect, freshman Trey Wood for the Minutemen. He had 13 points, a career high for him on 5 for 12 shooting.
Hey, guys, I just want to apologize and make sure that you turn the volume way up. My microphone broke during the interview with Coach Simpkins, so in order to hear it, crank that volume.
Brian of By George here with Coach Simpkins. First time having him on our podcast. We've been kind of talking back and forth for the last couple of years. One thing that we always talk about you is that your ratio is always fresh. You're always on the bench. You always are looking good. You know, you got the fresh suits coming out. Do you have your game day fit plan before you even, you know, before the game day even hits?
No, I normally do something the night before the game, man. Not a ton of thought goes into it. Just make sure it halfway matches, you know?
I mean, enough thought goes in because you clearly are the most fresh coach on the bench. But let's get into the game. Always like to have a little fun. That was the third time in the last five games that we've gone into overtime versus the Minutemen. Just talk about why, you know, is there anything specific in the matchup that's leading to all these close games?
Man, I really couldn't tell you. The only thing off the top of my head, I mean, Coach McCall does a hell of a job. Those guys, they will play their tails off from start to finish. And for whatever reason, man, I think everybody in the league has some particular team, no matter if you're the first seed and they're like the eighth or ninth, it doesn't matter. Everybody in the league has somebody that, like, it's a tough matchup for them on a consistent basis. And Minutemen are that for us, I guess.
It kind of confused me why their coach kind of went an offensive-defensive strategy with their bigs. But I'm not a coach, so it's not for me to solve. How did you kind of match up against that, especially with Kalix being injured?
Well, we just we knew AJ's been practicing really well. You know, it's just been tough to play three bigs, you know, and coaches felt comfortable playing AJ, but we knew that he was going to be able to be prepared to go in there and play. Obviously, you know, their bigs are bigger than all of our bigs, you know, so we just pretty much try to keep it out of there. You know, if you have the guard and the ball, intense ball pressure without getting beat, and we mix it up. Sometimes we doubled on the bounce. Sometimes we doubled on the pass. Sometimes we didn't double at all. And I think that bought us some time a little bit and threw them off rhythm a little bit.
This is another game where five of our starters finish in double-digit points. Talk a little bit about just how we distribute the ball, how they're all able to just to get buckets.
I think it comes from, you know, it's not just the offense. I think also, you know, we do a really good job. Jordan Miller in particular crashing the offensive glass. I mean, he has six offensive rebounds. He'll get points off of that. So I think sometimes it's not just the what you do in a half-court set. Sometimes you got to manufacture some of those points, whether it be through steals, offensive rebounds, and things like that. And I think a number of our guys are doing that.
I know you're out on the campaign trail. Talk about Trey Wood, a guy that we did look at, came out here, hit some threes, even though that's not necessarily in his resume. What'd you see from him?
Pretty much what we saw in high school. You know, like you said, he's not necessarily a three-point shooter, but he had some games where, like, he run him off, you know, because he's got a big heart. And he's going to try to step up to the challenge no matter what role he's in. And he got an opportunity to play a ton tonight with Juan Pipkins being out. And he's just back from concussion the past couple games. And we know he kick and play. You know, somebody like him, it's a tougher thing for him, man, is keeping him out of the lane. You know, he got to the paint quite a bit on Otis down the stretch. But he's a tough player. He's going to be a good player for the next 3 years.
Thank you so much, Coach. We really appreciate it. This is something that we're going to be looking to do after every single home game. If you're willing to talk to us, we're willing to talk to you.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, welcome back. I thought some great knowledge from the assistant coach, Dwayne Simpkins. He's always one of the better interviews. It's not a bad interview, but he's a really good interview.
Yeah.
I will say that for the Patriots grad. We were able to catch up with him. And like he said, it's just these two teams that they're always just going to play hard, no matter what. Even when UMass having a down year like they are, it's going to be a good game between mm-hmm. these two squads. So now let's go back and analyze this game a little bit more. Let's talk about Javon Green in the first half. He had 8 points to start the way for George Mason, and I think there was a point when Justin Kyer and Otis Livingston, they were like 0 for 11 combined and only had 1 point between the two of them. And if it wasn't for Green, this could be an entirely different ball game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're looking at, like, I don't know, a 20-26 game at halftime, maybe even less than that for Mason if Javon Green doesn't step up. But, you know, we really needed Otis and you just say Kyer, you know, to step up, especially in that first
half. Which Otis did in the second half.
Yes,
credit
he did.
To Otis.
Yes.
He was able to get up to 21 points after starting the first half, if I can get the right stat sheet. He started out at halftime with 4 points. Kyer had 3 points. And they finished with 21 and 14, respectively.
That's,
so,
you know, pretty good production there on the back end. But, yeah, I mean, with those two in the first half, you know, not performing as well, you know, it's just always great, you know, to have them perform well, especially in the second half.
Yeah, but that's back-to-back games that Otis and Justin struggled a little bit
mm-hmm.
from the onset of the game, and you had to rely on Javon Green, which, I mean, credit to Javon. I mean, he's not playing like his class right now. He's playing outstanding. You could make the argument the two best games of his career back-to-back.
I mean, from
the line, from the field, 5 for 6, that's great from
yeah.
a guard to be able to do that, two of them being three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
So good game for him. I thought Mason really got tested defensively tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the post position especially, I mean – you know, Reuter, you know, was trying to defend Holloway, I think, for the most part there. But, you know, he just kept getting beat on with his feet, you know, just putting up layups. But, you know, we got beat on the outside perimeter a lot as well, you know, with Pierre.
The game plan was for Mason to double team the bigs
yeah.
and Baptiste and Holloway, which they did. And then Baptiste and Holloway, they knew exactly they were going to get double teamed.
Yeah.
And the other guards on the court made sure that they were open for three-pointers and – they hit them in key moments in the stretch, and Mason had to change the game plan a little
yep.
bit. Back to six players on the court,
yeah.
because that's just something that I just want to continue to talk about.
If you didn't see my tweet from GK, you know, I don't even know how you comment.
That is insane. My favorite reaction was, this isn't hockey.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, where's the goalie? Where's is he coming in? I don't see him.
I'm not trying to say I'm old. I'm not. I've watched a lot of college
sure?
basketball, though.
Are you sure you're not old?
Okay, I'm older than you, Dom.
Yeah.
I'm older by you by quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I've watched a lot of college basketball. I don't think I've ever seen this.
I've
watched
seen
NBA,
either.
Too. I've watched high school. And the high schoolers don't try and put six no. players on the court, but UMass did.
I've never seen it either. I mean, I've never even seen it attempted.
I don't think the refs have seen
no,
it.
No,
because they didn't know what to do.
No. You know, there was a time there where, like, I think they're just looking at each other like, what is going on? Like, what the heck just happened?
What do we do?
Yeah.
They had a very extended conversation with the scorer's table.
I think it was for at least 4 minutes or so. And they're, like, looking at, like, the video. And they're, like, what are we supposed to do here? You know, eventually, you know, they got called for a technical, as they should.
Okay. last back to the game. Last talking point, though, for
yeah.
this game before we start looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for joining us again, celebrating the 80-75 victory for the Patriots over the Minutemen. AJ Wilson, I know a lot of people on Twitter have been clamoring for him to get minutes. He got some tonight. How do you think he did in the absence of Greg Calixt?
I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier. He came up with four great. He drew four great offensive fouls. Three? He drew three great offensive fouls, a couple against Holloway, you know, get his fourth. And then a couple times he really battled at the basket and got a great couple layups in there. But, you know, other than that, you know, he struggled a little bit on his free throws. He went 1 for 4. And he had only 3 rebounds. I would have liked a little bit more from him from that department. But, you know, he had 3 blocks.
3 blocks.
3 blocks.
AJ Block Tracker coming back.
Yep.
For one night at least.
Where are we at? Do you know? Not at the
ask
moment.
Me in like 20 minutes.
Okay.
After this. I'll
They'll tweet it out. Don't
it.
Worry. But, yeah. I mean, you got to give it to AJ. You know, he's getting back into his stride. So, hopefully
okay.
down.
Here you go. Okay.
Okay.
So with this 3, he now has 34 on the season.
Okay.
Just because you asked.
Okay.
And he now has 68 in his career, which ties him for 19th all-time.
Wow.
With Michael Sharp. There will not be a Mason Records update tonight because I don't do the updates and blocks until they reach the top 15.
Okay.
So he is 9 blocks away from getting to that honor, which he would
easily
tie
do
Mark
this season,
Eastmore.
I think.
Yeah, he definitely can get
yeah.
there this season.
But, you know, three blocks came up clutch. And, you know, got to give it to him today.
Yeah, he performed very well in the absence of Greg Kulik. I have to give him credit for that. The most minutes he's gotten since beginning of January in that Davidson game where I believe there was foul trouble is what the reason why he was playing. Elsewhere in the Atlantic 10, St. Louis beat George Washington tonight. VCU beat Richmond, and LaSalle with the buzzer beater from Pookie Powell.
I think it was 73-72. Is that right?
Something around there.
Yeah.
Beat Duquesne. So with that, as we're starting to look into the Atlantic 10 standings, Mason right now in third place at 9-3, half a game behind Davidson, VCU, half a game up on Dayton, who's at 8-3, and they are a full two games to the good of fifth place.
Wow.
So in position for a double bye, and things are looking pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'll ask you, Dominic Allegra.
Okay.
Because I asked Brian last time, how many conference wins does Mason finish with? He said 13. I said 12. If history shows us anything, Mason gets the double bye with those two. Here's the upcoming schedule.
Okay.
At St. Bonaventure.
I'm going to say a win.
Okay. Home against Duquesne.
I'm going to say a close win.
Home against Richmond.
I'm going to say a loss.
Oh, saying loss against Richmond. Okay. At St. Louis.
Say win.
Ooh, that's always a tough road trip.
I know.
VCU.
I'm saying they pull it off.
VCU at home.
I'm
going to
say loss.
It's a loss?
Yeah.
Okay. And then against GW, at GW.
I'm going to say win.
You're going to say a win. So that's four. So you're saying 4-2 down the rest of the way, which would put them at 13 wins, which is what Brian has.
Yep. I mean, you know, you got to give it to Brian. You know, I think he's, you know, especially when it comes to these conference wins, I think he knows what he's talking about.
And if you didn't listen to our last podcast against recapping the LaSalle game, last year St. Joseph's got fourth place with 10 wins, but the 2 years before, Richmond and St. Joe's both needed 13 to get that double bye into the Atlantic 10 tournament. So I think that will do it. Is there anything else I didn't touch on from tonight's game?
I think we covered everything. I think we're good.
Cool. Well, Mason, again, they get the victory, a big one against the Minutemen. They are now 15-10 on the season, 9-3, which, by the way, ties the most Atlantic 10 victories for the program, which they've gotten in the last two seasons when they finished 9-9. And for all the fans at home that have been watching this team, yes, they're guaranteed to finish ahead of Fordham.
Yep. Congratulations, Mason.
So they will be ahead of Fordham. They will also be ahead of UMass automatically. So at the very worst, George Mason can finish is 12th if you're thinking doomsday. But I think at this point in the season, it's very excited to be about for the Patriots. Again, two games to the good of the double bye.
Yep.
So that will pretty much do it here from Eagle Bank Arena. We hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Still looking for a name, so tweet at me at the Tyler Byram. Tweet at By George GMU. Tweet at
Dominic Allegra.
If you have any name suggestions for this post-game podcast, we need something clever, by the way.
Yeah.
But Mason gets the 80-75 victory over the Minutemen. And with that, we will now head on the road as the Patriots go to St. Bonaventure. Don't think we're driving to Olean, but
no.
We'll try and get something up after that game. We'll see you guys next time.